Kids, there are some activity packs up front if you want to grab, or if you haven't grabbed them, they're just to my left over there, if you want to go grab a pack, or you can sit and listen to me. I'm happy with that too, but it's only for kids though, no adults, right? You have to listen to me. It's good to be at church. I've been quite busy lately, and there is this really lovely sense when you've been away a little bit, coming back and seeing you all. So I apologize for not being around as much, but it is quite nice to be here. Starting a new series this week, and it's going to be a little bit different from what we normally do as a church. I'll be preaching this morning's sermon, but from next week onwards, we're going to be having our ministries kind of leading each service. So every week it's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be led by different people, and they're going to give a little bit of an input into, or a little bit of a show of what they've been doing and how we can most probably help out and get involved. So it's actually going to be quite exciting to have that diversity happening over the next few weeks. For me this morning, what I want to talk about a little bit is what I preached on a week before I went on sabbatical last year, and how are we going to unpack a lot of the things we did up until that time, and what does it mean for us to be Hutt City Baptist Church? What does it actually mean? What are we here for? What are we actually about? Now, last year we had a hui as a church. It went over for a couple of weeks, and we had a couple of questions kind of put to the church. Well, going through a change, I noticed that I'm dark over here. Has everyone noticed that? Yeah, I'll go away for a week. Look what happens. Yeah. This is the dark side. I'll come to the light. Okay, I got it. It's just thing about this church, isn't it? There's always two sides. Anyway, anyone knows our history. For those of you who don't know, who haven't been here long enough, there used to be a wall down the middle of our auditorium on the other side. So that's the little inside joke that I was going on. So last year we had a hui, and we asked some questions. We had a movie theater operating out of here, and they closed. And so that meant there were some changes coming about. And the questions were asked, you know, what are we about now? How do we express ourselves as a church? And we got a lot of responses. And if I turn that on, it will tell us. Yeah. And so I spent quite a bit of time collecting all this stuff and throwing up. There were a lot of questions, a lot of comments, which I thought were really, really good. And the one that really stuck with me and has stuck with me to this day is actually one of the first things I read, and that was this. What is the continuity of God's call to be Hutt City Baptist Church? What is our call? And how do we continue to live out that call as a church? I thought that was a very, very good and penetrating question, which we've been dwelling on for some time. So at the end of this series in June, we're going to have a couple more huis where we're going to gather you all and have some questions, get some thoughts out and hear from you. What does this mean? What does it mean to continue as God's people in this place called Hutt City Baptist Church? Now, the church has had a long history. I think this year we're 95 years old. Just a month ago, I've been here now 8 years. So it's been a long time that we've been around. It's been a long time that I've been around. And, you know, Gene Rhodes shared this with me a little while back, but just kind of showing me in a picture form what we've been about. We're a church that's planted other churches. Wainui Amata Baptist Church, Avalon Baptist Church. They came out of us, Nainai. A number of churches have sprung up out of our church. And over the years, we've been well known for Boys Brigade. We've been well known for our youth ministry. We've done a lot of good things. We've had a boys' house, a girls' house. We've had all sorts of things happen over the years. And when I arrived, we were going through a bit of a change just in the facade and kind of figuring out what is this now about, having moved from a kind of a place in Woburn, which was very residential, to this building. We were trying to figure out, well, what are we now? And in 2016, when I first arrived, Steve Shallard, who was a pastor in our church and a member of our church, prophesied this verse over us, which has stuck with us ever since, from Isaiah 47. It said, swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. And this was said to us at the time when we were doing the facade. And so that big blue central section that you see on the facade, that represents that verse, the river that flows and that flows in and through us out into our community. Pretty cool, huh? You might see our logo and, you know, you might think, well, what is that about? And you might see these words up front here, strong in faith, rich in love, released in action. This is actually what we've identified as important to who we are as a church community. The first part is this, being strong in faith, a people who are strong in faith by growing deeper in God's word. And this I see as the core of my job here. This is what I believe you guys have called me to do here, is to help you grow. Now, when you look at that survey from last year, we've got all those things up there. There was really actually only two comments that might have applied to that. They were good ones. Church that loses focus on discipleship loses its mandate. And how do the things we do support a discipleship journey? Talking about how do we grow in our faith? How do we go stronger in Jesus? It's fascinating. We are a bit of that kind of church. We're all about doing. And you could see that in the difference of the importance of what we put on growing in our faith. But growing in our faith, I feel, is foundational. That's why it's the bottom ring. It's what makes us us. 1 Samuel, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart of who we are and what we're about. Now, I might look like a great-looking pastor. I'm pretty cool. But it's not about the outward appearance, isn't it? It's about what's inside. And you all look pretty cool to me. But it's not about looking cool. It's not about looking good. It's about what's actually going on inside. Paul talks a lot about that. He talks about the struggles he has as a leader. You read all these great books on Paul and they talk about this great leader, this evangelist planting churches everywhere. But he talks about his own personal struggles, what's going on inside of him. He says this, I've discovered this principle of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. There's this force working within me. And I can't get it right. The more I try, the more I want to, my intentions are great, but it seems like I muck it up all the time. And Jesus tells us this. I'm using the Message version, which I prefer. It says this, these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life. These things that I'm teaching you, they're not just incidental things. They're not homeowner improvements to your standard of living. You don't just add them to you, right? They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life to be not just an attachment, but to shape you and change you, you are like a smart carpenter who has built a house on solid rock. And that, what I believe is my job here, is to help you, equip you, challenge you to grow deeper in your walk. And you may have noticed over the last year that a lot of our series have been very pointed about where are you at in your walk with Jesus. We saw that last year when we did the WAF series. We've seen it this year when we've done the sermon series on Psalms. Where are you at in your walk with Jesus? So this growing aspect, we kind of came to this conclusion, is that these are the things that we believe are important in helping you grow as a community. One is the discipline of Sundays. I'm fascinated because I've now in this role as interim regional Baptist leader, I get to go and see other churches and talk to a lot of different folk. And I'm fascinated by people's view of church. That church, well, you know, I don't really need to be there on a Sunday. I'm still going and hanging out with God's creation and doing stuff. Why do I have to be at church? And by the way, church is not a building. Well, fascinating. I would argue that actually church needs a home. And a lot of us invest in our own homes for our own personal well-being. This is our home. And coming together is actually really important, because it's in the coming together that we worship God. It's a discipline. I would argue it's really important. You know, of the 160-odd hours a week that we have, God only asks one or two. Why is it that we always find something to do in that 1 or 2 hours of the week? Growing, in some part, is discipline. Where I lack discipline is, you know, like I've got this membership to a gym that I've had for years. I would be very wealthy today if I just never actually signed up to a gym. Because in my mind, I want to be disciplined, because the only way I'm going to lose this weight, the only way I'm going to be able to focus in and get physically better is to be disciplined. It's the same in your spiritual walk. Your spiritual walk, we've got to be disciplined in following the Lord. The second one is carving some time into your day to engage with God. That's a fancy way of saying prayer. Because prayer is engaging with God. Taking some time in your day to just stop and engage with your Lord. And just remember that He is there. And lastly, developing intentional accountability relationships. This is a tough one. But we feel that the way you can grow is by having people in your life that are honest with you. People in your life that will help you in your growth, that will challenge you not to just be comfortable where you are, that will also challenge you when they're just not hearing the right things coming out of your mouth or in the way you're living. They're not policing you, they're caring for you. These are elements of growth that we as a community have said we value. So we've got strong in faith, which has this element of growth. We've also got this other element called rich in love, a people transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ to be rich in love and intentional unity. I remember when the elders and I were sitting down and we were talking about what does intentional unity mean? That's a good debate over that one. That is all around this idea of how do we connect better with each other. Because actually, this is the outpouring of who we are as the followers of Jesus Christ. Nadia Boltz-Weber was asked this question. Oh, by the way, before I get to that, yeah, this was, you saw there was only two responses in the last one. In the rich in love section, there were only these many. And what that tells you is that we're so good at doing stuff, and I'll get to that in a moment. But these were the ones that I could only really pinpoint to that, you know, we want to be intentional about how do we connect with one another, how do we serve one another. So Nadia Boltz-Weber was asked this question, define the good news of Jesus in a few short words. And she answered in a very peculiar, in a very different way. She said this, we are who God says we are. I thought, that's interesting to say, how do you answer that question? Is this the way you answer it? So she unpacked it, because it confused a lot of us. And she said this, in the incarnation, life, death, and resurrection of Christ, we see that God is so for us and with us that we can no longer be defined according to death. We are who God says we are, the forgiven, the broken, the blessed children of God, the ones to whom God draws near. And I found this fascinating, because you know what? The way we think we love is by what we do rather than what we are. It's not in our being that we express our love. It's in how we act. And that doesn't work that way. To be Christians, first and foremost, is who are we? Who are you? Don't tell me who you are. Don't even show me who. Who do you radiate? Who rules in your life? What governs your actions? I love this idea because I think for Christians for so long, our love is to get out there and do stuff. In Acts 2, 45 to 47, this is what the early church looked like. They said this, they sold whatever they owned and pooled their resources so that each people's needs was met. Not the whole world's needs, just them. Their focus was on each other. They didn't have outreach programs. They were just focused on themselves. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home, and ate together with glad and sincere hearts as they praised God. And people outside kind of liked what they saw. They're like, whoa, what's this about? Every day their number grew as God added to those who were saved. I find it fascinating because we as a Baptist union of churches, which basically most churches today, they say our numbers are declining, people are not engaging with church anymore. Why, if a church goes through a rough time, people leave, they don't come back, what's going on? And I would argue that a lot of them have been convinced to come to church, but their hearts never changed. That we gave them a great apologetic on what's good about being, you know, a follower of Jesus rather than help them engage deeply with who Jesus is. And so when we're rocked a little bit, we fall apart. And then we stop going. And then church doesn't mean anything anymore. Or I go to church just because we really love the preacher because he's cool. And if he leaves, well, what's the point of going to church? You're not here because of me. You're not here because of the person sitting next to you. You're here because of Jesus Christ. He and he alone. This is where our love comes from. Because my wife can tell you, my love is broken. I stuff up on the stupidest things. On the things I should know better. But the moment I allow Jesus to take over, oh, things change. I don't even know how. But he does it. Our focus as a church is if we can't care for one another, if we can't look out for one another, if we can't sit with one another, how can we go to the world? This idea of intentional unity, I don't like some of you, and some of you don't like me, but that's not the point. But I'll tell you what, I do love you, and I hope you love me. Because our relationship is actually really important. It's what the world sees. When I first became a Christian, I was 21. I came to know the Lord in a church in Washington, D.C. And it was a crazy moment of time in my life. I was living in Rome at the time in Italy. And I came back to Rome thinking, how am I going to find whatever it is that I found in the States? Because I'd never seen anything like it, never felt anything like it. And I found a small Brethren church and I fit right in. My mother was freaking out on me. Mum was an atheist. Deep to the core. She hated anything to do with religion, and she was just freaking out that her beloved son, her firstborn, had been lost to some cult. And I'm not joking here, but the elder at this church, his name was Bill. He was actually from Australia. He'd been sent to Rome through Operation Mobilization, and he was working at the uni, and he was in this church, and he just took me under his wing, and he would drop me off at home. Now, my mum's not Italian. She's Greek, well, of Greek origin, Greek and Arabic. So she's a bit fiery. And when she'd see Bill drop me off, she's on the second floor of our apartment, she would start throwing plates at him from out the window. You're laughing, but Bill wasn't laughing. And when she ran out of plates, she'd get the forks and knives. And so poor old Bill would park the car a block away because he was too afraid. He wouldn't even drive down our street anymore. And I've never, ever, ever told Mum about the good news of the gospel. Never did. She just saw the change. I was the kind of guy that after Dad died, I did not have anything to do with my mother. I would go out, not say a word. This is a poor woman, a widow with two little girls and a son that was self-centered. And then all of a sudden, I'm asking her, what can I do to help? All of a sudden, I was telling her where I was going. All of a sudden, just little things that she started to look at and go, this is not Rob. What's going on here? And after 2 years of that, I got married. She came to the wedding. 2 or 3 weeks afterwards, Monica and I, in our first little flat that we were in DC, Mum calls me up from Italy. She goes, can you give me Bill's number? And I said to her, leave poor Bill alone. He's afraid of you. She goes, no, you've got something and I want to know what it is. What do you mean? I don't know, but you have changed. You're not normal. I want to know about it. Gospel in action. That's what we need to be as a church. That we don't need to explain to anybody what we are, who we are, they can see it. I remember when I first arrived here in 2016, I was down at Buzz Cafe talking to Michael and bragging about our church. And he looked at me and he said, well, you can't be that big a church. You're at the back there. How big are you? You got 30, 40 people in there? I said, no, I've got like 250. He's like, what? Where are you? And I looked around Buzz and I said, well, there's one couple over there and there's one couple over there. And he was like, what? You're everywhere. And I'm like, yeah. Well, why don't you say something? I said, sometimes we don't need to say something. You asked me, Michael. You asked about us. And now that you can see who they are, you're starting to think, oh, they're different. Yeah, you guys are different. You're loud and boisterous when you come in here. You're fun. I didn't know Christians could be fun. Who we are, that's the love we have of Jesus in us, and it seeps out. For us, this connection of love begins in life group. If you're not part of a life group, let me, and Keith is not here today, and that's why a lot of things are disorganized, because I've got Keith missing, I've got Lisa missing, and it's just on my shoulders. But normally Keith and I have got this under, but let me know if you're not part of a life group because that is where intentional unity begins. I can't gather you all under one wing. I'm not that big, though some of you might debate that. The intentional relationships happen in a smaller group. You look after each other, you care for one another. You serve each other, you seek each other out. This is the day we all come together and we worship God with one voice. But in life group, that's where the caring and the looking after and the support and the challenging happens. So I want to challenge you. If you're not part of a life group, let me know. And if you see Keith next week, let him know. He's most probably watching there. Hi, Keith. Teresa had COVID this week, so he's most probably staying home. Become part of a life group, serve each other, and this is one thing I believe we do very well as a church. We're good at serving, and we're good at seeking each other out. Let's not lose that. Let's build on that. Okay, so strong in faith, We're rich in love. And the last thing, which we honestly do really well, I know because everyone tells me, released in action, and that is a people guided by the Holy Spirit to be empowered and released in action to bring God's light, truth, love, hope to our community. And we've got that in the droves because you know what? It's all about doing. And you know what? 90% of what's written up there is doing. It's all about doing. Now, the challenge I have for you is that doing doesn't equal forced behavior. I know that some of people have come to me and they're itching. They're wanting to do something. I get it regularly where they come up to me and say, Rob, what can I do? I want to do something. What can I do? And I just want you to be. Because the doing part is actually the easy part. Because most of you in here have a heart to do. We all have a heart to do. We can see the brokenness of the world. We heard it even this morning. We know the problem of loneliness. We know the problem of people struggling and famine and hunger and poverty. We know that. We know that. The question I want to ask you is, why are we doing it? Why are you doing it? Because that's my place. My job for you is to always challenge you, why are you doing it? What's going on? Because the doing part needs to be an outpouring of who we are in Jesus. So doing, an outpouring of growth, an outpouring of connection. Because at the end of the day, I'm not Rob to people. I'm not that guy. I am Jesus to people. Colossians, Paul says this about his people there in Colossae. He says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all of God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. Out of that springs action. Out of that springs the doing. Out of that is the real care that we have for people, the holistic care of people. Now, I want to say, when it comes to doing, boy, we're really good at that too. But here's the challenge. In about 6 weeks' time, 6 or 7 weeks' time, we're going to start advertising for a hui, a challenge to bring us all to the table and hear from you what you think the next steps that we need to focus on as a church. What are the things that we need to be putting our time and resources in? What are the things out of this picture of who we are do we need to collectively focus on? We've had some great things happen over this last year. We've got the food bank in. Amazing work that Jane's doing there. Amazing work that Colin's been doing in connecting with our community. I know the cafe's not operating, but every time I walk up and down the street, everybody I meet talks to me about how great an experience that was and how cool Colin is. That's doing in action, but it's not just doing. I'm seeing the heart of Jesus come out from them. I see that with our local focus team whose focus is so good. With our youth and children's ministry, with our intermediates, we're going to hear from them over the next few weeks. But what do we need to be looking at now? Because in the next couple of months, I'm hoping to tie up my work with the Baptist Union and come back here fully loaded and ready to go. And I need to hear from you. And you've got some time over these next few weeks as you hear, as you discern together. Going back to that, what was that first question? Oh, I've got to go all the way back, hey? There we go. What is the continuity of God's call to be Hutt City Baptist Church? There are some challenging things to look at for you personally. Are you part of a life group? Are you connecting? Where is your heart? It's supposed to be an introduction sermon, by the way. I was supposed to do it over 2 weeks, but I'm not around next week either. So I've tried to cram it all into 1 week. But there's a lot there to kind of digest and unpack. I know that my commitment here is for still quite some time, and so you're stuck with me. But I'm also stuck with you.
Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah. So the moment I've got clarity, I want to forge ahead with what we believe is the continuity of God's call to be Hutt City Baptist Church, and I want to do it together with you because that's who we are, God's community. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask the music team to come up. Father God, we are constantly challenged as your people with all that goes on around us. Whether it's just in our own lives, but even in the world at large, there's just a lot going on. And a lot of it does distract us, Lord. Does pull us down at times. There's tragedies in our own personal lives. There's difficulties. What does it mean to be your people, Lord? What does it mean to come together? What does it mean to be your church? And not just this church, but all the churches around us. What does it mean to be your people, your body of Christ here in the Hutt Valley? What does that mean? What do you want from us, Lord? We want to seek this out, Father, because we could continue doing this forever. But it's not about what we do. It's about what you would like for us to do, Lord, what you want us to do. And so as your people, we want to give that to you, Lord, and speak to us over the next few weeks so that when we do come together, Lord, there will be unity, there'll be clarity, and we'd be charged up to do your work as your people, Lord. Thank you, Father. I pray all that we've spoken and heard this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.